In yesterday's video, that's Tuesday, August 18th, on Natalie Harp, I focused on the weirdness of her relationship with Donald Trump, the strangeness that he's surrounded at all time, 24/7, by this fanatic devotee. And I made the more substantive point that Georgia Senator John Ossoff's decision to make an issue of Harp just by mentioning her offhand was the right political decision. It put attention on this strange relationship, has forced the White House to respond, to be quite reactive, and it's gotten the press to focus on a story that raises real and I think quite troubling questions about President Trump's ability to do the job that he was hired to do. There's been some reporting about Harp since then, both in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and reading that reporting, I have another thought about this controversy. That's why I'm double dipping in this. I don't often talk about the same topic twice in a row, but I have one more observation that I think is important. And when I say this claim, you might hear it and think Jamel has lost his mind, but let me explain and you will see exactly what I mean. Reading about Harp's access to the president, reading about the fact that she determines his information flow, reading about the fact that she sends messages in his name, posts on social media in his name, responds to other government actors, even foreign leaders, in his name. I think it's entirely reasonable to say that Natalie Harp is one of the most powerful people in the United States government. Straightforwardly. To understand why, you have to understand the presidency as an institution. Now, in popular culture, the president is first and foremost the decider.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
He's often portrayed as an extremely resolute figure, out defending the nation from its enemies.
Get off my plane.
And then also pursuing aggressively a program here at home. There are elements of truth to that depiction, although I don't think we've had a president yet punch someone off of Air Force One. If we did, I would obviously support that person. Who wouldn't support President Punch? But the presidency in reality is much less exciting, it's much more mundane, but also, somehow, much more stressful. And that's because much of what the president actually does is essentially triage. You should think of it this way. The president of the United States is the leader of a global hegemon at the top of a massive bureaucracy. That bureaucracy touches every aspect of American life, and the president is the sole person responsible for it. Under the Supreme Court's most recent jurisprudence, in fact, that entire edifice is really just an extension of the president himself. Every day in this world, there are fires. There are small fires that can be put out by people on the ground. There are medium-sized fires that could become big fires or could shrink into small fires, depending on actions taken. There are large fires that demand immediate attention and threaten the integrity of the whole thing. And then there are things that might be fires, that appear to be fires, but upon closer investigation are not, or, if you're unlucky, could become the large fires that consume your attention. The president's job is observing all of this and deciding which fire is which. Because also the thing about this is that although you get tons of information, it can be somewhat opaque. Whether or not a medium fire is in fact a medium fire, a small fire is a small one, a large one's a large one, or there's no fire at all. So the president's job primarily is to figure out the nature of the fires and then decide how to address them and decide the level at which they must be addressed. This means much of the president's job is really just sorting through information, triaging information, deciding what is critical and needs his immediate attention, what is critical and be put on the back burner, maybe assigned to someone else, what is not critical but actually probably needs his attention, and what is neither critical nor needs his attention at all. Information management. Because that's really the big advantage the president has over every other political actor. Access to not just a lot of information, but often the very best information, the very best intelligence, the very best analysis. This kind of triage is incredibly daunting and incredibly difficult. And it's why personnel matters so much. It's why the White House staff is so important and why jobs like the chief of staff and the deputy chief of staff are so important, because they're often the people engaged in doing the first level of filtering, the first level of triage. deciding what the president is going to see, deciding if this is a fire the president needs to take seriously or whether someone else lower down the chain can handle it, and trying to curate the things the president needs to see, because even those are going to be overwhelming and they're going to be endless. And so you need some way to keep everything from coming to the president's desk, to make the president's job of identifying and dealing with fires a little more manageable. It's for this reason, I'll say, that one of the best depictions of a chief of staff in media is Leo McGarry on The West Wing.
You dangle your feet and I'm the hall monitor around here. It's my job to make sure nobody runs too fast or goes off too far.
That really is what the job looks like. Acting in part as kind of a deputy president, making decisions on the president's behalf, but also ensuring that the president only gets the stuff that really only the president can deal with. That the president is in fact getting the things that are most likely to be the large fires. What all of this means in practice is that if you have access to the president, if you can shape his information flows, if you can determine what he sees and what he doesn't, then you in effect determine the scope and shape of the presidency. Especially for a president who isn't all that curious. Previous presidents like Barack Obama or Bill Clinton have been very interested to know what is going on and have been aggressive about gathering information, sometimes to a point where it's actually a problem, where there's too much on their plate. But when you have an incurious president who doesn't especially care about all of this, then who gets them information is vitally important. If you have an incurious president who is also something of a micromanager, it's even all the more important that that person is getting decent information. And that's what makes Natalie Harp so powerful. She is the one who determines the information he receives. And as I've been reading the recent book from my colleagues, Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan, this is the book Regime Change, one thing I have noticed is how much Trump rejects information that comes from traditional sources, that comes from the people the federal government employs to produce the information, whether it's about tariffs, whether it's about nuclear proliferation, whether it's about going on to the Middle East. Trump rejects the information that is gathered and collected for the purpose of informing him. He often rejects the counsel of people who say, this is a big fire, this is a medium one, you need to focus on the big one. And he's highly reliant on information, on advice, on counsel from people who have no incentive to contradict him, and every incentive to tell him what he wants to hear. Say nothing of people like Harp, who are simply devoted to him. Harp is one of the most powerful people in government because she controls the information the president sees. And if you're wondering why after Ossoff's comment, there hasn't just been a big reaction from the White House, but there's been a ton of leaks and reporting that suggests that there's much more here than we even know, it might have something to do with the fact that there are people within the White House who understand this fact of Harp's power and very much want to undermine her, very much want to get her out of there. And beyond all the salacious stuff, right? To me, the reason why this story is so important is because it's giving us a glimpse into the information environment of the president. It's giving us a glimpse into the inner workings of the White House. And what we see is a president who is simply detached from reality, detached from the kind of information that is necessary to even have a chance of doing a good job as president. What we see is a president who is narrowly focused on his pet projects in Washington, indifferent to larger global conditions, indifferent to the consequences of his policies and actions, and being fed a steady stream of absurd propaganda, curated by someone who, for all intents and purposes, worships him like he's a god. Natalie Harp is one of the most important and powerful people in government right now, and that simple fact should fill us with dread.
I'm in danger!
Thank you, as always, for watching. Let me know what you think, and I'll see you next time.